All right, and let's see about a morning wine cellar. What do you think of that fuckface? Uh-huh. There it goes. Okay. So, content note, shit's hardcore. Some say trigger warning, content warning. This is TVMA podcasting. Somehow TV. You figure it out.
And we recognize mercenaries trying to pimp us out like that little bitch Eminem and his little wannabe thug pansies behind him who aren't real men who wouldn't take on the globalists like Donald Trump or anybody else.
Oh, cool. I love stupid bullshit like this.
This show is so reverse racist. This show is so black that Father Teresa makes me get a tan before I go on this show.
Father Teresa's wine cellar is rated R for keeping it real.
All right, let's check those decibels. Get that volume right. All right, so Phoenix Kaliter, still not a well person. Phoenix Kaliter is not well. All right, so what do you get for that? You get another William J. Black-ass motherfucker solo. Can you dig it?
Oh, cool. I love stupid bullshit like this.
And you better do. All right. So, where do we go first? There's a couple of places. R. Kelly. R. Kelly. Fuck it. I'm over on BET.com. BET just, I don't know what's cracking with it now. I know I stopped watching it when, I turned it on one day and I was like, you know, I'm gonna check out some Rap City. This was, I think it was 2005, maybe like mid-2005, could have been 2006, but I'm leaning on 5. And a record came on, I think it was Young Cheesy, some rapper of sorts, and he proceeded to extract decibels from the lowest hole in his face, and I picked up the remote control. And I blocked my television set from going to BET anymore, even on accident. And then in that moment, I was like, while I'm at it, MTV. And then I thought about that moment that I was bugging out with one of the homegirls, you know, token reefer doobies and whatnot. And they're like, hey, man, let's watch some television programs. Maybe not in that exact wording, right? But so they're like, all right, well, check out this television program. You might find this inter and esting. And they throw on the television program, and there's Flavor Flav, the world's greatest hype man, if you will, and some individuals that want to date him or marry him or something, right? And there's a moment at one of them, like, they're standing there having, like, a dress or skirt or some gear like that, and they poop. Like, they just straight up poop on the floor, pick it up with their bare motherfucking hand, and run up the staircase with it. So I blocked VH1 as well. All right, but anyway, we're on BET.com. R. Kelly. And now I think we'd be calling Charlemagne Char Kelly. And, and this article, it does not have the name of the writer. All it says is published 7 hours ago. It says a little over a month has passed since Carrie Killa Kelly, the brother of shamed R&B singer R. Kelly. Is he really shamed? Is R. Kelly really shamed? I don't fuck with him. I didn't fuck with him in the beginning. I just, I don't really fuck with R&B that heavy. But, I don't fuck with him. A few niggas don't fuck with him, but for the most part, is R. Kelly really universally shamed? Really, nigga? Fuck out of here. but they call him the shamed R&B singer R. Kelly. And this Carrie Killa Kelly released a lyrical expose on the Pied Piper. Way of a gritty track called I Confess. And in the record, Killa Kelly posed jaw-dropping allegations against his brother, accusing him of knowingly passing STDs to women and secretly sleeping with men, which you can move the homophobia out of there. In a new interview, the rapper is cracking open even more scandalous family secrets in an interview with the YouTuber named Tosher K. For her program called Unwine. Niggas is fucking with the wine label with Tosher K. Well, he ain't never gonna be populist wine, nickel. And in the segment, Killa Kelly not only explained why he was releasing so much personal information on his brother, but why the information was so important for the public to know, especially, Mr. Killa revealed, after his wishes for one of the previously undisclosed victims to come forth on her story of sexual abuse from the Chicago singer, their own cousin. This is a quote from Mr. Killa. Before you actually say enough is enough, and things happen in people's lives to the point where you feel like it's a wake-up call, and now they get a chance to right their wrongs, end quote. Mr. Killa shared this after the loss of their mother, Joanne Kelly. The death of Kelly's young lover, victim, R&B singer Aaliyah, and his 2008 child pornography case, acquittal. The Chocolate Factory went on a downward spiral from there, which I get. What the fuck is the Chocolate Factory? That must be like an album series of sorts. Again, I am no Kelficionado. He recollected one incident where he came to physical blows with Mr. Kelly after confronting him about pursuing underage girls. Quote, "Now, I wasn't condoning his behavior," end quote, Carey said, though he did acknowledge that Mr. Kelly might have been seeking help for his pedophilic behavior. Help him with a bullet. He believes that R. Kelly's own experience with molestation, which the Pied Piper revealed in his exclusive I Admit It track, led him into such sexual deviancy. He's a pedophile because he's a pedophile. Jesus Christ, every victim isn't an attacker. Are you shitting me? Mr. Killa revealed that also that... And that's why I understand why somebody wouldn't want their name attached to this article. There's words missing where it was supposed to be the word if is the word it. Who is fucking voice to texting this shit? Right? Like, who is responsible and why is this their style? Alright, but so let's read around these ridiculous typos. And Carey revealed that he was also molested. However, it fueled the exact opposite behavior of his brother's. He alleged, quote, "I became a protector of children. I don't want kids to go through what I went through, especially my daughters," end quote. He said their relationship, which was supposed to be that of a brother and a sister, made you scratch your head. He was overprotective. Wait a second. Carey also recalled an instance where he realized Kelly's suspicious fondness of then 15-year-old Aaliyah. Okay. Quote, "He was overprotective of her when he shouldn't be," Mr. Killa said first. Suspicion rose when Kelly worked on Aaliyah's Age Ain't Nothing But a Number album, and he paid keen attention to the lyrics and even how they interacted with each other. Quote, "I'm listening to the lyrics and I'm paying closer attention to how they're vibing. They'd be right next to each other, hugged up, and different things of that nature. That didn't seem right with him being the age he was and her being the age she was," end quote. Mr. Killa said that R. Kelly denied anything more than a friendship with her, though despite later marrying the then teenage Aaliyah in 1994. All right. And there's more typos and more of this fucking shit. And the latest things coming through are people are folks saying that he impregnated a 14-year-old cousin, which, I mean, kill him. Kill R. Kelly. You know, gun it in. I'm all about it. You know, when I say not all black lives matter, it's about motherfuckers like this. All right. Let's dance it forward. I better reopen closed tab. All right. Now, I don't really know much of these individuals, right? Check me out. I'm trying to do the celebrity news. And let's zoom so I can see what's happening here. Because this was put up by the folks over at For Harriet. And it's about somebody whose name is at YVONNERJI. Yvonne Rogi? Yvonne Rogi. All right, we're going with that. So this is about Yvonne Rogi, and it was put up by the folks at For Harriet, a website. And apparently this person was on The Breakfast Club, and this person is from the continental Africa, and they're and this is a black person, and they're talking about black folks on the continental U.S., and apparently it sparks discussion. So let's spark discussion.
I'm looking forward to that.
Do Africans really look down on black American people?
No, I think Africans, I would say specifically for Nigerians. Nigerians are proudful people. We look down on other Nigerians. So it's not even, and it's not even that we're looking down. We're just always looking up. Mm-hmm. And so if you're not in our
person. What's this always looking up? That doesn't mean anything. That's the thing. That's conveniently vague. And then it said we look down on other Nigerians. Yeah, nigga, we have every single microcosm is going to have its hierarchies, caste systems, and looking down, if you will, assuming what spot one was born in or what one may be able to matriculate to. So that we look down on other Nigerians, that's a throwaway line. And then we're not looking down, we're just always looking up. That's a throwaway line. That shit means nothing.
Purview. Mm. We don't see you.
That's a word.
So yeah. It's perspective shit.
And Charlemagne's basic ass. That's a word. That's a word right there. Shody. Or I don't know if he talks like that. And Charlemagne's a simple ass.
And so for us, like I tell people all the time, like, because it used to be like when I would meet other African Americans, like they would know nothing about me. They'd be like, oh, so you African? So what, you think you better than us?
Who said that? Like, who did you meet? Who did you meet that said that? That's the thing. I need verbatim quotes. I don't like these kind of fairy tale stories. Like, you said it, therefore is. Because if I meet you when you're from out, I didn't say that. Fiends Khalida meets you, she didn't say that. There's niggas that tune into this podcast, they don't fucking say that. Where are these niggas that I keep hearing about and never see?
And I'd be like, listen, man, we think we better than everybody. Because my father would be like, if the black man does it, do it better. If the white man does it, surpass him. If the Asian man does it, finish him. It's just like, okay. Like, that's like...
Oh, so you can do imperialism better? You can do capitalism better? You can do chattel slave labor better? You can do sweatshop labor better? Hey, you can do causing global climate change better? What the fuck are you talking about? See, that vague shit. We can do it better. Say something specific, nigga.
The household I grew up in is like, nobody's your competition except for the person that you're trying to advance over. So it's just like, who is in your purview? Get them out. Like, why are they even there? Like, why did you even give them an opportunity? I'm looking forward to
that. All right. So yeah, that's the clip. I don't see how much discussion it could really spark, except for who is this nigga and why are they relevant? So somebody contact me, let me know. For some reason, this person is relevant. I mean, you gotta be some level of famous if you're on the Breakfast Club program with Charlemagne the Fraud, Char Kelly. All right, Jesus Christ. Let's go on down to Alabama, come on. I know y'all want to come on down to Alabama. And this is Pastor Mac Morris. All right. What the fuck is this? Oh, that is weak sarce. All right. So Pastor Mac Morris ain't really a big fan of certain football fellers disrespectifying things. All right. And it says there's a video, but Vimeo apparently has this fucking shit hidden. Like, so you actually can't see the video, which is weak and sarse. But this motherfucker stood up in front of his congregation and literally took out a cutting device and chopped up a pair of fucking Nike shoes. You know, and it's like, on some level, that's some political shit. Right? Like, that's a socio-political. Now, I know that these pastors with their 501c3s, they're not supposed to talk about candidates from the pulpit, even though they fucking do, totally, and they never lose their 501c3 status ever for it. And but this is like a political speech, because if you're saying I'm against this caper nigger, then it's a binary. It's inherently then for Trump, for the McPublican Party. All right, so a little bit out of the article. It's a senior pastor in Mobile, Alabama, and he cut up articles of Nike clothing during a sermon in an apparent protest of former NFL Colin Kaepernick's controversial ad campaign for the brand. It's a controversial ad campaign. Woo! Watch out now. No, nigga. Nike. All right. Who was it? What age group is that? Like, toward the end of millennials and the beginning of generation new niggas, we'll call them the skinnials because they wear skinny jeans, all right? So after the millennials and into the skinnials, that's like the largest group born since the baby boomers. Like, there's more of them than the skinnials. And the skinnials tend to be a little bit more pro-Kaepernicky, you know, and that's what they are for now in this moment. You know, they might grow up, switch up their style, this, that, and the other, you know. But right now, they're going to get skinnials money while fucking boomers die off. Fuck them. And Generation X, enough of them are fucking Democrats and fake left. And millennials are jaded. Like, I'm not buying a new pair of Nikes, but I'm also not getting rid of my old ones. And when my old ones are worn down, I'm going to get another pair of Nike cross trainers because those are the most comfortable shoes for me to go jogging in. All right, that's just Nike cross trainers are my jogging shoes. All right, so quote from Pastor Mac Morris. The first pair of jogging shoes I wore were Nike jogging shoes. That was in the early 80s. I've been wearing Nike jogging shoes since 1980. I got news for you. I bought my last pair of Nike shoes. End quote. And people in the crowd are vibing to it, like applauding, right? And then the pastor states he will no longer be wearing Nike jogging shoes and wristbands, and a red headband came out of his pocket, and he cuts up those accessories with scissors before tossing the fabric on the ground and telling the congregation, I ain't using that no mo'. And more applause and motherfucking cheering. And the website Vimeo will not let me open up the video to give you the audio clip of it. And that's weak sauce. All right. Wait a second. Skibby flippy jibby do. So apparently, this website, okay, rawstory.com does not like when you're using a fucking ad blocker on their fucking website. All right. So I need to figure that one out. All right, so we're in Minneapolis, and in Minneapolis, some folks, they made themselves a microbrewery, and they're trying to get donations to get out of there and close it down. All right, it's called Boom Boom Island Brewing. And they've been around there for 7 years, making mostly Belgian-inspired ales. And they're asking customers to donate $500,000 to $700,000 to help them find a more suitable location. Now, according to the Star Tribune news outlet, the owner, Kevin Welch, moved into the overwhelmingly white city's most diverse neighborhood, where he hoped to be a part of the West Broadway's transformation. Transformation. It ain't gentrification, it's transformation. But instead of transformation, though Welch and his employees have witnessed violence and seen customers' cars damaged, they complained that biker gangs started peddling drugs in the alley outside. Ah. Well, you got your change. Now you got some white-on-white crime. Come on. The last straw... So maybe they should ban it. The last straw was a fatal shooting of a black man who was unnamed in the Star Tribune story. But it's Stephen A. Fields, who was a hotel employee who was smoking a schmigarette when he was murdered. The Boom Island tap room manager, his name is Jim Barnard, and he was worried that it could have been him who was shot since he had left the area only 90 minutes before. Quote, it would have been a complete innocent bystander just walking out. At some point, you have to look out for the safety of your employees. Now, hold on, no, 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 hold on, hold on, hold on. You see, he's worried because that necra got shot. And it could have been him. And his quote is, it would have been a complete innocent bystander because a black man smoking a cigarette cannot possibly be a complete innocent bystander. Continuing, Welch said that he and his wife, quote, believe in the neighborhood and wanted to make the most out of it, end quote. Wait, nigga, believe in the neighborhood? But you went there because you were expecting, hey, what word did they use? Skibby flibby jibby dibby dibby doo? Transformation. So you didn't believe in the neighborhood. You believed in new white money coming your motherfucking way. Quote, I'm scared to walk out to my own car, end quote. Mr. Welch told City Pages, another news outlet, that he wants to be moved out by the end of the year, even though statistics show the neighborhood is actually getting safer. Quote, how much worse can it get when you leave on Friday night and there's bullets flying around? The motivation is extremely dire for us to get the heck out of the area. End quote. Huh, fucking clowns. And then something on the way out, right? Wrapping up this morning wine cellar, Friday morning, September 14th, 2018. And this is from Toy Banks. Apparently, Toy Banks, I don't know if this person is a wife school huckster like Rokisha Ilori Cutno or anything like that. But, uh-oh. What the hell happened? There we go. So, this Toy Banks, apparently they're involved in the religious thing. And, they got something to say to you.
Are you withholding sex?
All right. Hold on. She got you.
Are you withholding sex from your spouse? Are you crazy, husband?
All right. Are you?
Are you crazy, wife?
Are you? Are you withholding sex? Is you be crazy?
Do you know what you are doing? 1 Corinthians chapter 7 said, your body doesn't belong to you, boo-boo. No, it belongs to you.
All right, boo-boo. Yeah, that kind of... And how much plastic surgery does she have? God damn. But that boo-boo shit, I don't buy that coming from this nigga. Like, looking at this nigga and sort of hearing underlying lack of accentuation, you don't actually say boo-boo. You're like, this is a black person pandering to black people. Even the way they're like, like how I have the video paused right now, and the way this nigga's eyes are fucking bucked out and the way their lips are poked out, this is like some coon shit.
Belong to you, boo-boo. No, it belongs to your spouse. So because you mad, because you tired.
Wait a second. Your body doesn't belong to you, boo-boo. It belongs to your spouse. Okay.
Because you want to get revenge? You're upset? That is no excuse to withhold sex from your spouse.
Wait, revenge? I had no idea that not swapping juices with somebody is a form of revenge. Jesus Christ. In that case, apparently revenge porn is revenge and not a first strike, right?
As a matter of fact, you need to hear this and hear it clear, because God gave us a warning. He said, when you withhold from sex, the enemy will come in like a flood and tempt you for your inconsistency. And it will be your own fault why your marriage is destroyed. All because you decided to withhold sex from your spouse.
All right, so now, if my spouse's body belongs to me and my body belongs to her, then can't I act like, okay, so right, so my body belongs to her and hers belongs to me, right? And she's like, you have to is be having sex with me, come on. And I'm like, I don't want to. So because her body belongs to me, then I get to control it and make her body not have sex with mine, right? Let's figure this one out. Come on. Let's figure this one the fuck out. I think I might even just Facebook Live this by itself. Yeah, I got a couple minutes. I'm going to do that and then I'm going to fucking go to work. All right. WineCellarMedia.com will be back. After we replace the car. We have to replace the car. I don't think this 2008 PT Cruiser can make it through another winter. All right. So, gotta do that. Then we can get the website back up. Because getting the website back up, that's a $300 slap down. All right. So, paypal.me/PhoenixAndWilliam. Patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund. And I'm gonna go work some overtime. Have a good one.